The economy in 2017. Warning, calculus is involved here. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve have left rates where they are, and now there is some question about whether rates will go up at all this year. This after Janet Yellen, the chair, sounded concerned about 2017. Let's turn to Guy Labat. He's chief fixed income strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Help me understand this. What do you make of Chair Yellen's comments about not 2016, but next year?
Janet Yellen has been focusing on the concept of economic uncertainty. And if you're a calculus expert, you might call it stochastic nature of economic data. And what that means essentially is that there is a random element of the economy that we're essentially unable to predict. And her and the Federal Reserve's sense is that in 2017, that unpredictable component might weaken.
All right, so we'll watch for that. But at the moment, there seems to be some signs of an improving economy. I'll offer retail sales.
Retail sales for both May and April were fairly solid. At the same time, job growth here in the U.S. has been slowing for about 4 months. You know, it's one thing to say, well, May's data was an aberration, but the fact is the trend looks pretty well entrenched, and many aspects of economic growth look like what we call a late-stage expansion.
All right. It's why people pay for public radio. We use the term stochastic in Morning Drive. Guy Labat at Janney Montgomery Scott, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
In fact, the 10-year Treasury yield is way down this morning, below 1.53% this morning. The big grocery chain Kroger reported quarterly results. They slightly beat expectations, but sales were up 4.7%. They're experimenting with something called Click List. It's the latest in online shopping. You pay $5, you put in your list, they shop for you, then you swing by in your car and pick it up. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Why drag your screaming children through the aisles of a grocery store like a swarm of chubby locusts gnawing on things you don't want to buy when you can just have all your groceries waiting for you to pick up? It's a question Kroger's asking, probably not in that way, in at least a dozen markets. The reason?
The elephant in the room, which is Amazon.
Mike Griswold is with Gartner Research. Amazon is moving into online grocery, and that's a threat to pretty much everyone in that space. His advice?
Move as quickly as possible.
Griswold says every major grocery retailer is at least toying with the idea of digital grocery. Mark Wiltmuth is with investment banking firm Jefferies.
Online grocery could grow from 2.5% of the industry today to 8% or $100 billion in sales by 2025.
The sooner Kroger rolls out these services, the more it'll benefit. Bill Bishop is with food retail consultancy Brick Meets Click.
In markets where they're the first, 2/3 of the online business will be new business for them.
I need a price check for disruption on aisle 5 in New York. I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Homelessness is a national issue, and that problem is painfully visible in Los Angeles. Now county supervisors are asking California Governor Jerry Brown to declare a state of emergency to free up more funding to combat the problem, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Los Angeles County has some 47,000 homeless people, almost half the total for the whole of California. LA County spent almost $1 billion on homeless adults last year. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas is spearheading the proposal.
The crisis is upon us and is worsening as we speak.
The proposal asks for access to $500 million in state emergency funds. There's also been talk of hiking taxes on people making more than $1 million a year to help fight the problem. Josh Leopold is with the Urban Institute. He says homelessness, especially in Los Angeles, boils down to access to affordable housing. More money helps, but
a secondary challenge is blending all these different funding sources together and coordinating them.
Gary Blasey is a law professor emeritus at UCLA. He says there's another problem.
It's a question of political will and other restrictions on how local government can raise money and the state can raise money.
If the proposition gets onto the ballot in November, it'll need 2/3 voter approval to pass. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
This week here on Marketplace, it's our series, The Price of Profits. We're looking at what corporations are and whom they serve and the controversial focus on shareholder value. Today, a conversation about a famous retail chain that liked to give its stock a boost by spending money to buy it back, Sears Holdings Corporation. Haley Peterson is senior correspondent for the publication Business Insider, looked into the strategy of Chairman and CEO Edward Lampert, a person with experience less in retailing and more in hedge funds. Haley, good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right, you looked at Sears, and what was the idea there? They would really wanted that stock price. They were focused on the share price.
Yes, Eddie Lampert used a lot of financial engineering to squeeze as much value as possible out of the company and try to drive up per-share earnings. One of the ways that he did this was by buying back shares. He also, in the meantime, cut spending on stores. And as a result, a lot of the stores are falling apart. I talked to one employee who said that he's dealing with constant roof leaks in his store and that the escalators and the elevators are breaking down on a regular basis.
In a sense, you have this picture of Sears as almost eating its own seed corn. Because if you're using money to buy back stocks, hoping that'll pop the stock price, the money's not available to do something else like make the stores better.
Yes, it turns out that his strategy may have failed after all for everyone involved. About half the stores have been closed. Half of employees have lost their jobs. That's thousands of employees. And the share price has dropped by over 90% in the same time period.
It's not just what's happened to many retail stores over the years. I mean, just savaged by the internet and changes in the way that Americans buy.
You know, being a retailer at this time, especially in department stores, is really tough, especially during the recession. There are a lot of other external factors that have attributed to Sears' decline, but no company has experienced such a quick demise. No company has seen its sales decline so rapidly and its share price decline so rapidly as Sears has.
What's the company tell you? I mean, you talked to some company insiders who think it was problems with the strategy, but stock buybacks are very popular in corporate America here in 2015 and 2016.
Eddie Lampert has talked about this a lot. He's defended his use of stock buybacks as the best way to spend the company's money at the time. His theory on not investing in stores is that we can't invest in everything. And the company told me that they truly believe they are positioning the department store for a resurgence and for a revival of sales, and that the company is still in a turnaround phase. If you talk to industry experts and analysts, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that agrees with that.
Haley's piece about this is in Business Insider. Haley Peterson is senior correspondent at Business Insider. Haley, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
9 years ago, Sears stock peaked at $177. It is below $13 this morning. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.